In this week's parsha, Bilam is referred to in a very striking type of way. And the Gemara in Nida on Daf Lamed Aleph notices this. Bilam is referred to as Nu'um HaGever Shesum HaOyim. He is an individual who is Shesum, he's closed. One eye. So I heard from one of my rabbeim in Torah Vedas, tremendous Marbitz Torah of Yisrael Reisman, that he developed al pi chasidus. He had mekoris in chasidus that the idea behind Bilam's one eye phenomenon is that there are two ways in which a person could see the world. We could see the world from the perspective of Gadlus Adam or Shiflus Adam. And Bilam HaRasha saw things only from the perspective of Gadlus Adam. In other words, there was a greatness in Bilam to the point that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows him to attain the Madrega of Nevuah. However, because Bilam HaRasha saw things only from the perspective of Gadlus Adam, he himself eventually became a Baal Gaiva, and he was not able to relate to a certain component of Avodas Hashem. Now, what's really fascinating is how the Gemara describes that he was blind to something in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What was Bilam blind to? So the Gemara describes that Bilam said the following. He said, there's something I don't understand about spirituality, about God. God gets involved, he said, in the most mundane things. He gets involved even in the reproductive process of man that he decides. He destines every single part of the creation of man, and he decides all these things. God is something that's holy. So Bilam was something that only focused on godless. Why the Gemara chooses this analogy is quite striking. But when it comes to all these smaller things, which Bilam thought was smaller, so there he says he doesn't understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he qualifies as a Shesum HaOyim. This Yisod, the first Musar that we need to emphasize, is that we could see the world. We need to be Masbir, what the Gemara is referring to, a little bit more. But the first Yisod that emerges is that there are two perspectives in which we could look at the human experience. And that is this perspective of Gadlus HaAdam and Shiflus HaAdam. Let me elaborate. There's a beautiful story that is told about Rav Lazer Silver. Rav Lazer Silver was one of the heroes of the American rabbinate during the Holocaust and after Holocaust. Rav Lazer Silver didn't have any airs about him when it came to saving the Jews of Europe. And after the war, he went around in an army uniform, visiting the few survivors that were left after the Churban of Europe. And Reb Lazer went around and he met many different types of Jews. And there was a broken Hasidish young man who turned to Reb Lazer and he said to him, Rebbe, ich werd nicht sein frum. He said, I'm not going to be frum today. Why? What I saw in the camps, I can never be religious again. So Reb Lazer asked him, what do you see? So the fellow said that I remember that there was a fellow in the barracks who was the only one amongst hundreds who were crammed in like sardines. He was the only one who had a siddur. And this individual would not give the siddur to anybody else, and there were Jews who were begging him that they wanted to daven a little. They were begging him. He refused unless they gave them their piece of dark bread of that day. So Blazer in a loving way, grabbed him by his shirt, and he said to him, that's a reason that you're not going to be a religious. There's all the reason for me to be religious. He says, you're focusing on that one Rasha who had that Siddur. Churban brings out the good of people, and it brings out the bad in people. But what about the godless Adam? What about all those even Mamish gave their last living, their almost their lifeline, to be able to look into a Tehillim, to look into the Davening? So Rav Lazer Silver pointed out that in many, many of life's experiences, one could see things from the perspective of the godless Adam and the perspective of shiflus Adam. But Rabosai, maybe it even goes deeper when it comes to Bilam. Bilam is referred to in Pirkei Avos as having an ayun ra'a. Bilam, not only did he see things from the perspective of godless Adam, but eventually, and here's a very, very important nekuda, that bechina forced him, as the Mishnah in Perakei and Avos describes, contrasting to Avram Avinu, the contrast is going to be important in a moment, describes Bilam as having an ayin ra. In other words, eventually, if one is only looking at things from the perspective of godless Adam and it's not tempered from shiflus Adam, so then eventually a person begins to judge everybody harshly, he's always above, and then a cynical perspective begins to emerge. So it's not only that there's a perspective of gaiva, but that gaiva begins to evolve to a point of cynicism. And this yisod is really a very, very, very important yisod, probably even more important than Reb Lazer Silver's philosophical perspective. It's more, there's a yisod here, that it's a tremendous mussar, where we look at life, what Reb Lazer was bringing out. But the next part, about the nu'um ha-gever shesum ayin, that not only is there a perspective, a warped perspective of godless ha-adam, but what begins to emerge is a ayin ra, is a sense of cynicism, that is very much relevant to our day in and day out avoda. We mentioned on the bus back from Chesed that every time we go through an important experience, Rabbi Yitzchak Lvorka taught us that we need time to take a step back and reflect on what we saw. So there are many things that we could reflect in these last 3 days, the first 3 days in the summer kolo. And there are many things even within the experience of going to Chesed that we could reflect on as well. However, there's one part of the video, the movie, that we saw by Yad Eliezer that I think was extremely, extremely jarring. And it could be it would pass and, you know, it would sort of catch us for a moment. I know I had to look away from the screen. I couldn't take it. And then it goes on, it passes on, and sometimes we don't even internalize what had happened. In the film that we saw, one of the tragic descriptions was about the boy by the name of Alon. And it showed, if I turned away very quickly, but if I'm not mistaken, it showed in that short clip, it showed a beating, right? Is that what it showed in the, yeah. I turned away after a millisecond. Rabosai, there's nothing more tragic. Maybe we packed a box for today for him, but there's nothing more tragic than a child that's been beaten by his father. Okay, so that's a tragedy. That's almost impossible for us to look at. But there's something more tragic than that. Do you know that statistically, the odds are that alone, if he doesn't get the proper attention from the Big Brother program in Yad Eliezer, that the chances that Alon will do the same thing to his own son are much, much higher than you and I will do it to our own children? That's a mind-boggling phenomenon. The phenomenon that when a person grows up with a certain set of assumptions, is trained, whether implicitly or explicitly, to address life's challenges in a particular way, the odds are so much stacked in the direction of that he himself will repeat those phenomena. And even if he realizes and he could profess how painful a beating is, nevertheless, the odds are great that he himself will repeat that same phenomenon. Now let's talk about our own avoda. Rav Dessler in the Kuntres HaChesed describes that there are only in the style of Kelm, and this might be a little bit harsh, but if you think about it, Rabosai, maybe you could take it or you could leave it, but it's definitely something that we need to think about. In the Derech of Kelm, Rav Dessler claims there are two types of people in the world. There are givers and there are takers. That's it. There's nothing in between. You either give or you take. That means that even if we could sit or we could stand up here and say and profess the importance of being a giver, if we ourselves don't really internalize how to make ourselves givers, then if we've been exposed in a society that's full of a society of takers, then the odds are that we ourselves will evolve into hypocrites. That we'll be able to talk about the significance of giving, but we ourselves, chas v'chalila, could ultimately be takers. Because there's something that's so deep in the teva of a person, of how that he's been trained, that you could live. Of course, alone is going to say that beating is terrible. And they say, psychological studies and so on have been done, that the people who are guilty of this, they cry afterwards, they feel terrible about it. But at the end of the day, they come back. So we ourselves, on the one hand, in the world of theory, could believe it, and we could make a shvu al ha-teira on it, but still we could come back to that same chisar. So first of all, let's just internalize, well, then what does it really mean to be a no-sein? Go through the basic yesodos that Rav Dessler gives us, and then try to see how we could apply it on a very, very small level, but hopefully we'll see that on a small level that will be very helpful in our own avoda. Torah tells us in Perek Hei, Chof Beza Bereshis, Vayishalei Chanoi Chesel Elokim. Chanoch was one of those people we don't know very much about, but the Torah goes out of his way to say that he went with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why specifically Chanoch Es Elokim? So the Medrash describes. The Medrash describes that Chanoch used to be a shoemaker, and what he did was he stitched every stitch with tremendous, tremendous madrigos. So Rav Dessler says that he heard from Yisrael, in the name of Yisrael Salanter, that this whole medrash doesn't make any sense. But Manavshach, if he was someone who was holding in these great madrigos of Kabbalah, let's say, so then how can you be doing Kabbalah and at the same time being a shoemaker? Be a shoemaker. And not only that, if for some reason he had to have these kavanos, you're not allowed to even have these kavanos when you're making shoes. That's what Rav Yisrael Salanter claimed. So what's the pshat? So Rav Yisrael Salanter claims the following. Chanoch was of a tremendous madrega. What was his tremendous madrega? He didn't have kavanos niskavos in the sense that he was thinking about a complex sugya, or he was thinking about dvarim niskavim from the perspective of Torah HaNistar, but rather every single stitch that Chanoch put into that shoe was a stitch that he felt he was doing not for himself but for others. He might have been mefarnes from it, he might have earned a living, but at the end of the day, and listen to this Yisod from Rabbi Yisrael, and this is a cheshbon that you have to keep in mind when thinking about choosing a career. At the end of the day, he put more into those shoes in terms of his effort than the money that he got back. Now that becomes a whole career fear that we have to discuss. What are the exact hagdaras? What does that say about how we choose a career? So we have many more meals to schmooze with each other over. But at the end of the day, this is the yisod of Chanoch. This highest madrega was that he was focusing entirely of thinking of others when he was being mefarnes. That, says Rav Dessler, is the pshat and the enigmatic pasuk of Sonei Matanos Yichyu. What's pshat Sonei Matanos Yichyu? It doesn't mean that it's so bad to get a birthday present. But Sonei Matanos Yichyu, those people who focus their entire mitzius on giving, and that at the end their entire being is focused on giving to others, that is an individual who is a Baal Madrega. That's why Yishalei Chanoch Eso Elokim. Rav Dessler famously goes on to say that that's all part of the root of the word of Ava. V'ahavto l'reacha kamocha, the root of the word is have, to give. The definition of love is someone who is willing to give. Someone who is not willing to give, or someone who in a relationship, the primary part of that relationship is not his focus on giving rather than taking, then he will never reach that madrega of Ava. A chassan, whose kala hasn't seen him for a while, I'm talking in just out of frustration in my last couple of weeks' experience, who says to her, she asks that she hasn't seen him for a while, obviously there are hagdaros of when a chassan and kala should be with each other, when not, sometimes that line is crossed. But she hasn't seen him for a while. Things have been very busy. Engagement is sometimes a very stressful period of time. And she says to him, I would like to see you. And he says back to her, I want to go out with my friends tonight. Or for that matter, I want to stay in the Beis Medrash. If she hasn't been feeling that sense of giving from the chassan, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. Then that marriage is not based on a bechina of Ava. The Gemara in Brachas that we're learning on the Afches Amid Aleph has a very cryptic expression. But based on what we've said, we can understand the Gemara. This is all Rav Dessler speaking. V'amar Rav Chiya Bar Ami Mishmei De'ula Godol Hanena Miyegiya Kapo Yoser Miyirashamay. Someone who's nene from the work of his hands, that person is greater than Yerushamayim. So that's a very, very wild statement. What does that mean? Someone who earns a living by his hands, that's greater than Yerushamayim? So the first part, now we understand in the Gemara. The first part of the Gemara means, Gemara is saying the following, that is a godless. A person who with his hands, his entire trade, when he opens his shop in the morning, when he opens his office in the morning, with his hands, he is taking care of others. So that's a high madrega. Why is it Yoser Miyirashamayim? That's okay, that's a high madrega, but even higher than Yerushamayim, what's the leap? So the pshat now is beautiful. Let me read you from I couldn't find the Hebrew edition, so let me read you from the English edition of how Rav Dessler explains, and this is a beautiful paragraph, Rabosai, of how he explains this godless. Ad kedei kach, that's greater than Yerushamayim. Every human being is swayed in all his actions by his characteristic qualities. If he is irritable, he will become angry in every situation which contains a stimulus to anger. If he is arrogant, he will act arrogantly. Similarly, if he is good-hearted, he will be good to everybody. If selfish, this will emerge in all his dealings. So, an ungrateful person, in other words, a person who, chas v'chalila, is a taker, will be ungrateful, and here is the important yisod. Here is where it gets to not only the yisod of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, but it gets to the mitzvah of Avas Hashem as well. he'll be ungrateful not only in his dealings with his fellow human beings, but also with the divine service of all beings. Once this trait is ingrained in his character, it will take charge of all his behavior and permeate all his attitudes, even when he is standing before Hashem. In contrast to someone who has trained himself bein adam lechavero to be a giver, here only Rav Dessler could use this this formulation. I don't know philosophically. I haven't spent a lot of time to think about what implications this sentence has philosophically. But in Musar, this is a very, very powerful statement. By doing this, a person who becomes a giver, the human being becomes, in a certain sense, a giver to Hashem, if such a thing were possible. He covers himself philosophically with the translator. And Hashem becomes, as it were, a receiver. Now, however you're magdir, the pshat over here, I'm not interested. But at the end of the day, the significance of what Rav Dessler is saying is as follows. If a person doesn't train himself to become a giver ad kedei kach into his entire metzius, then even if with his relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then ultimately he's constantly being a taker. Okay. So now let's get practical. So how do we do this? We've understood that, number one, that what starts out as gaiva from Bila Marasha, Numa Gever Shusuma Ayin, ultimately evolves to what the Mishnah Avos describes as Ayin Ra, which is cynicism, which ultimately evolves into a person who's constantly trying to soak the most that he can out of a situation as opposed to trying to give, which is the antithesis of what marriage is supposed to be, which is the antithesis of what Avodas Hashem is all about. Basically, we've covered all the bases in life. Rav Dessler has done an amazing job. Okay, so Lamaisa, what are we supposed to do? So on the one hand, when you have something that's so big, and it's Dvarim Ha'om De Berumo Shel Olam, it's very, very hard to give suggestions that could solve the challenges that we're faced with. At the end of the day, so much of us, and so many of us, have been raised in an environment where there's an emphasis on taking. But if in Kelm they're right, and I suspect they are, that there are only two different types of people, that there are only givers and takers, then it's all about a switch. It's all about turning the switch. And turning the switch is the perspective. To turning the switch is the perspective of having those two einayim. Turning the switch means the ability to slowly begin to see, not overnight, but slowly to begin to perceive the world around us as not one in which we're supposed to soak things out of, but we're supposed to give back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to everyone who is the Tzelem Elokim that we are surrounded by. How do you turn the switch? Two examples that I thought were very, very powerful. That are mundane, very, very mundane. No fantastic stories, no elaborate examples. Just two very mundane things. First of all, and they're about a bus. I heard that Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky was once with his son in a car, and the bus. So it was that way in America. I remember the bus on Coney Island Avenue going to Tar V'Dasa. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky was Rosh Yeshiva. Actually, his son and I lived. His son and my parents lived on the same block. The first Gadol B'Torah that was open at the series of Yaakov Kamenetsky. Editorial point, one of the shortcomings in modern orthodoxy is the lack of realization that there is so much that a child entirely outside of any intellectual experience that a child absorbs by going to see Gedolei Torah. I'm not talking about Tafka Charedi Gedolei Torah. I'm talking about Stam Gedolei Torah. However you define what Gedolei Torah means. I know as a child those experiences. I know as a child watching the Amshanav Rebbe Zichrein Levracha wash his hands, which was a whole avoda. And later on I realized that the Amshanav Rebbe was teaching me as a child that Netilas Yadayim is not just simply a matir, it's an avoda like the avoda of the Levim in the Mishkan, when one sees those things as a child, God willing, your children expose them to that. Avodas Hashem is not only the experience of the intellectual. And Rav Yaakov was going along Coney Island Avenue, and a bus jumped out from the side, one of the side lanes, and was about to cut off Rav Yaakov's son, who was driving him to down the street. So his son instinctively was pulled ahead. He had the right of way. So Rav Yaakov said, "Stop." So he stopped. He said, "It's Pashut. You have to stop." So the bus is at Tzibur, and you're a Yachid. Tzibur comes before a Yachid. Now, I don't know which Gemara in Zvachim he quoted in the sugya of what comes first in Kedima and so on, or what sugya he quoted, but at the end of the day, what Rav Yaakov was saying was something that's very, very powerful. And that is that sometimes we just don't internalize that the world doesn't revolve around us, that there's a tzibur, poshut tzibur. We don't book back the sefer, Rabosa, it's a tzibur. That's a tremendous, tremendous cheshbon. Who comes first? Us or the tzibur? Now let me go to another Gadol B'Torah who's not famous. He's a chavrusa of mine. He also wears a white kippah sruga. His name is Rav Rafi Ronis. Some of you know him. He's a Rebbe in the Netiv Aryeh. He's a Rav in the Datilu Mishul in Ramat Bet Shemesh. For many years, Rav Rafi and I, we still do, take a bus together. And I noticed when the bus comes, as the bus approaches, what happens? Everybody begins to collect towards the bus. We would be speaking, and I'd begin to walk to the bus. And Rav Rafi is always walking slower than everybody else. And after a couple of times, I realized he's always the last person to get on the bus. Always the last person. So I can't say that I'm the person that rushes to be the first one on the bus, but I'm not necessarily the last person that gets on the bus. And it has a big nafkamina. When you're going to Ramat Beit Shemesh, it has a very, very, very big nafkamina. We're talking about an hour's worth of standing. And a lot of the times, he ends up standing. No. So what happened? There was this, in Rav Rafi, there's just a mitzvah that he's not always thinking about taking for himself. He's focusing on other people's tzrachim. And a switch went on in me. I hope that there was a slight change. Wait a second. Getting on the bus is not only about you and your change and giving your kartisiya to the driver. There's something else that's going on aside from us and our dalanamis. Once we begin to notice those things, once there's a switch, then maybe Rabosa, we have a fighting chance. Then maybe we could end up on the right side of what the altar had said. I just want to conclude with one story that I saw here. And I don't think I would have seen that this phenomenon anywhere in the United States. I mentioned it to some in the past. It was supper time. It was Wednesday night. I was here before Sichas Musar. And I got the biggest Sichas Musar myself by just eating in the cafeteria. I went to wash. And as I washed, I noticed what happens sometimes, there weren't any paper towels. Okay, so what did I do? So what do you do when there's no paper towels? You should know that there's a bathroom next to the sinks for those of you in your first few days. So what do? You go into the bathroom, you take some paper towels, and if you're not lucky, you have to go into the stalls and take some toilet paper. Just say there. So I went, I took some. I made a cheshbon lahalacha what I should do, and made an til sidaim, went to eat. As I'm walking away, I see that there is an Israeli boy from Machon Lev who's in the exact same predicament. Okay. And what does he do? He goes and he runs down to the bathroom and he takes 100 paper towels and he puts it in the dispenser. Das heis gadlus. That is what gadlus is. Gadlus is a person that begins to think outside of his Dalet Amos. And ask yourself, would you do what I had done, or would you do what he had done? And once we begin to ask ourselves that question, then maybe we have a fighting chance. Kadosh Baruch Hu should give us the siyata d'shmaya to be able to reach these madregas and ava, both in Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, and ultimately, as Rav Dessler claims, that is at the core, at the essence of our yachas with HaKadosh Baruch Hu.